In Max Lucado's book entitled 3:16, he focuses in on just one single verse from the Bible. For God so loved the world. Many theologians believe this to be the single most significant sentence in all of Scripture, or the gospel in a nutshell. Many have commented that they love this passage because it shares God's great love for us and our great need for Him. And Graham Lotz described it as the North Star of the Bible. If you align your life with it, you can find the way home. Perhaps because of its simplicity, perhaps its ease of memorization, preschoolers can recite it. Football fans paint it boldly across cardboard signs. And for those who are rookies to biblical passages, 3:16 is the place to begin because it encapsulates the gospel message of faith, of love, of believing. Today, our reading from John begins with a silent figure moving through the darkened streets of Jerusalem. Nicodemus, a Pharisee and one of the religious elite of the day, seemed to follow Jesus' ministry closely and his activities around town with money changers in the temple and about a dinner party where Jesus changed water into wine. Whatever happened, Nicodemus could not perhaps reconcile all of this because with all his training and studies and with all he heard about Jesus, it is Nicodemus who is now seeking Christ. He believes that Jesus is a teacher and he believes he is from God. And so in the shadows of darkness, he seeks counsel. I believe on that day, Nicodemus was given the hope that we all are given, the opportunity for renewal, the opportunity to be born again, the opportunity to reflect upon our lives and to perhaps tweak it a bit as we grow into healthy discipleship. John does not tell us if the conversation changed Nicodemus in any way, but we can rest assured that he received a message of hope and the care of a God who really is not impressed with status or titles. God is impressed with our hearts. Nicodemus received the message about a God who sits high and looks low in order to be inclusive of all creation. He received the message to love others as God loves him. And perhaps in all that he learned, he realized that he too must be born again by spirit. Today, we must also be reminded of our own Christian journey and remember the message of a God who loves the world is not a theory for salvation. It is specific. It should run deep within and throughout our communities. And lest we not forget, especially in a time such as this, that God does love the entire world. God loves the Samaritan woman. God loves a man who was paralyzed for most of his life. God loves a man blinded from birth. God loves Jesus' friend who lay dead in the tomb for 4 days. And God even loves Peter, who denied his discipleship. And we too are called into the same depths of love, where we must develop a practice to care for one another, surpassing all boundaries which attempt to sway us away from the light and love of our Creator. Today, we are also given a reminder about the incredible gift of God's love, which exceeds all boundaries and reaches out to all people in all places. We must be reminded of this all-inclusive love in which God loves the least of these, those who sit at the margins and those we often treat as the invisible people, because God's love stretches and embraces them as well. God loves those who are fearful of deportation. God loves our sisters and brothers who are being singled out as criminals based upon color, culture, or alternative lifestyles. God loves the brave women who march and the men that stand beside them. God loves our Jewish brothers and sisters for their perseverance and loyalty to the God of Israel. And God loves our Muslim sisters and brothers vilified for devotion and obedience. And so today and every day, not just in our Lenten season, I invite us to bear witness to what it means to know that God truly loves the world and how we too must be reborn 70 times 7 if necessary in order to practice that same type of love to others. This is a part of our rebirth, and I invite us to bear witness knowing that no matter what we do or what is done to us, no matter where we go, God's love and care follows us. And if God offers this type of unconditional love to us, then we too must reciprocate. Now, this type of love offering sounds as simple as John 3:16, but quite often we don't dig deep enough into it to test the waters of our faith walk and our commitment to God. Sometimes we forget that we too must love as deeply as God loves. This is how we build relationships. This is how we create an offering to the world which reflects the image of God. Today, we must begin to consider how we might live together and how we might begin laying the foundation for what a loving and accepting world might look like. This is a type of love in which we must be intentional as co-partners who are drawn to God and with all creation. And my friends, indeed it is risky to enter into a sea of uncharted courses, but this type of love is truly what the world needs now, and it is long overdue. There is a book by Shel Silverstein, which I used to read to my children, and I'll try to sum it up in this way. But it is about the great love between a tree and a little boy. Perhaps many of you may know it. The tree gives the little boy her apples to pick and her branches to climb. The boy and the tree love each other and are happy in their life together. As the boy grows older, however, his interest in the tree becomes less. The tree is very lonely until one day the boy returns as a young man. The tree offers her apples and branches, but the boy claims that he's too old to climb and play. He's more interested in money. "Can't you give me some money?" he asks the tree. The tree does not have money, but she does have apples, so she invites the boy to pick the apples and sell them. Then he will be happy. The boy does this, and the tree is happy, but then the boy stays away even longer, and the tree is sad. Years later, the boy returns, and the tree is overwhelmed with joy as she invites the boy to swing from her branches, but the boy is too busy to play. What he really wants is his own house for his family, a place to keep them warm. Can the tree give him a house? No. But the boy can cut her branches and build a house with them, suggests the tree. Then he will be happy. The boy does this, and the tree is happy. Many years pass before the boy, now middle age, returns. The tree, overjoyed, invites the boy to play. But now the boy is too old to play. All he wants is a boat, which will take him far away. "Can you give me a boat?" The tree invites the boy to cut down her trunk and make a boat so he can be happy. The boy does this, and the tree is happy. But not really, for now only a bare stump remains. Years later, the boy returns. He is hunched over, an old man. The tree apologizes for having nothing to offer any longer, no more apples to eat or branches to climb, only an old stump. But the old man says his teeth are too weak for apples and he is much too old to climb. All he needs is a quiet place to sit and rest, for he is tired. Well, says the tree, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest. And the boy does. The tree is very happy. Now, this is a great story. I won't tell you all the lessons I was trying to teach my children with this. I'll share that with you later, but it is a bit one-sided. It is a story about one person who loves so deeply that they constantly give without expecting anything in return, while the other one receives. But I believe it was a great example that we are not only expected to be receivers, we are also called in our discipleship to be givers. And how often is our relationship with God reflected in this way? The apple tree is not the only giving tree. It is not the only tree which loves so much that it would offer all it had, even if it meant giving its only son. There is another tree which gives freely of itself, and for us today gave body and blood, love and mercy, forgiveness and compassion, acquittal and freedom. And that tree is the gift which keeps giving every day. In order for us to experience a renewed life, a forgiven life, a cleansed life, this giving tree offers an open and everlasting invitation of love, if we but yet believe. I pray that we each will encounter the cross of Christ in such a way that it brings us to our knees in true confession. And as we move through this season of Lent, may we remember that it has always been God's intent to be in relationship with us, giving, receiving, sharing love, and allowing that very love to flow throughout us and into the world, inviting others to taste and see God's goodness, God's sacrificial love, and more importantly, its cost. And each day as we pick up the towel and the basin as disciples of Christ, may we recall that God has given us the perfect example of unconditional love through Jesus Christ. And may we go and share that love and do likewise. Amen.